Tonight's shiur is on Megillas Rus, and the title of the shiur tonight is Naomi, the Grandparent and the Parent. Tonight we're going to look at the last parak of Megillas Rus, where the Torah describes the birth of Oved to Rus, who is her son was named Oved. And we're going to look at how Megillas Rus describes the experience and what was Naomi's role in the raising of this child. So if we look in source number one, it's Rus Perek Dalet. It starts with Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, Vayikach Boaz is Rus Vatihi Lo Leisha Vayavo Eleha Vayitin Hashem Lo Hirayon Vateled Bein. So Boaz got married to Rus, and he ends up impregnating her, and she has a child. Vatomarna Hanashim El Naomi Baruch Hashem Asher Lo Hishbis Loch Goel Hayom Vikareshim Obi Israel. So the women, all the women in the town said to Naomi, Naomi, of course, was Rus's mother-in-law, and they said, original mother-in-law, and they said that Hashem is blessed, blessed is Hashem, who has not withheld the Redeemer from you, and his name should be perpetuated in Klal Yisrael. V'hayol l'chol l'mishiv nefesh ul'chakel esevasech, ki chalasech asher ahevasech yeladatu asher hitova l'ch mishiv abanim. And this child should renew your soul and should sustain you in your old age, because the daughter-in-law that you love gave birth, and she is better than seven boys. Vatikach Naomi es hayeled vatishiseu b'cheka vatilo le'omenes. So Naomi, the grandmother, took this baby and held it close to her, and she became the foster mother. Omenes, vatikrena lo hashcheno sham lemor, yulad bein lenami, vatikrena shimo oved, hu avi yishai avi david. And all the women in the neighborhood were saying that Naomi gave birth to a child, and she named the child Oved, and Oved was the grandfather of David. Oved was the father of Yishai, who was the father of David. So in the description of the birth of the child to Rus, Rus is kind of a side element to the story, and Naomi takes center stage. And the whole experience here, it keeps mentioning in the whole experience that Naomi is praised by the women, and the women say that Naomi had a child. And the question is, what's the role of Naomi vis-a-vis this child? Naomi was biologically the grandmother of Oved, but it seems like she had more of a role, of a presence, and that's why in Megillas Rus it mentions over and over again that the women would say that Yulad Bein Lenami, that Naomi had a child, had a son. So the question is, why does the Megillah teach us this about the story? What is this trying to teach us? And what was her role? What was the role of Naomi vis-a-vis this child, this son? So if you look in the source number two, the Medrash says, Vatikrena lo hashcheno shem lemor, sham lemor, yulad, shem lemor, yulad bein lenami, mikan lemegadel yeled o yaso besoch beso, male elav hakasov ki ilu hu yulado, shenamar yulad bein lenami. So we learn from this Megillas Rus Parsha, this piece in Megillas Rus, that anyone who raises a child in their house, whether it be a yasom, an orphan, or not, so it's as if they gave birth to the child. V'chein Naomi yiladato v'halo Rus yiladato. So was Naomi really the one who gave birth to this child? No, it was Rus. Ela Rus yiladato v'Naomi gidalto v'nikra al shem Naomi. But we know that Rus gave birth, but Naomi was the one who raised this son, and therefore this son is called in Megillas Rus the son of Naomi. So this teaches an important lesson, this part of Megillas Rus. It's teaching us that if you're an adoptive parent, it's as if you actually give birth to the child. And it seems to be an endorsement of adoption, because it's showing us in this experience that Rus was the biological mother, but Naomi was called the mother because Naomi raised the child. So we learn a general principle that whenever somebody raises a child in their house, even if they haven't given birth to this child, they're considered the mother. So the Gemara also highlights this. And if you look in the Torah Tmima on this piece in Megillas Rus, he brings down a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And it says in source number three, V'chi Naomi Yalda. Did Naomi really give birth to this son Oved? V'halo Rus Yalda. Rus was the one who gave birth. Ella, Lefi Shegidlohu. Because she raised him, lefichach nikra al shema. Therefore, she's called a mother. Mikan shekol megadol yasom besoch beso male alav akasov ki ilu yalado. So this is where we learn out that anyone who adopts a child, an orphan, and they raise the child in their own house, it's as if the child is theirs, and it's as if they're the mother. So what exactly is this concept? What is the concept that if you adopt a child, it's as if you are the mother? I mean, on a simplistic level, it just teaches us that when you raise a child, it's very important, it's essential, it's significant. But can we highlight or at least pinpoint exactly what the idea of being an adoptive mother is, and what the concept that the Gemara is trying to highlight, where it says that the child is yours, it's as if it's yours? So in order to do that, we should look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin itself, and it gives three different examples, actually four examples, where a child is called not based on the biological mother, but based on the mother who raised them. So the person who raised them is called the mother. So if you look in source number 4, it says, V'Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Nami Haksiv Es Chameshes B'nei Michal Ba'Sha'ol. So the Gemara raises the question, Michal, the daughter of Sha'ol, who is the wife of David, she didn't have any children until the last day of her life. And that was the klala, that the punishment for criticizing David for dancing in public. When the Aron was coming back to Yerushalayim, David was dancing and she criticized him. And the punishment was that the Medrash says that she had a baby at the end of her life, the last day of her life. But the psukim say that she had five children. It says, V'es chameshes b'nei Michal ba'Sha'ol. So the question is, what do you mean? She didn't have any children. So Amar lach Rav Yeshua, v'chi Michal yalda? Did Michal really have five children? V'halo Merav yalda. The sister, Michal's sister, Merav, had children. And some say David married her. There's a whole question of how David could marry her. So Merav had these children. So Merav yalda u'michal gidla. So it's the same idea. It says that Merav gave birth to these five, but Michal was the one to raise them. Lefichach nikru al shema. And therefore, they're called Michal's sons. L'medcha shekol megadol yasom besuch beso male lov akosav kilu yalada. So it teaches us this general principle. So we learn out from the case of Michal as well that Michal Ba'Sha'ol didn't have any children until the end of her life, but she's considered the mother of her sister's children, Merav, because she raised them. So now the Gemara brings all these different proofs as to where we know this concept from. Where do we know this concept that if you raise a child, it's as if it's yours? So look in source number 4, Rabbi Chanina Omer. So Rabbi Chanina taught, after the parentheses, Mehacha, from here, this is where we learn out the concept. Atikrenu lo ashchenos shem lemor yulad ben lenami. So we learn out the general principle that an adoptive child is considered, the one who raises the child is considered the mother, from Naomi, from our story, Megillas Rus. V'chi Naomi yalda, v'halo Rus yalda. Was Naomi the one who really gave birth? It was really Rus. Ella Rus yalda v'Naomi gidla, v'fichach nikra al shema. So just as we said before, it's the same principle. So that Naomi really raised the child, so Naomi was called the mother. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, so now we have a second Raya, second proof as to where we learn the concept from. Mehacha v'ishto ha'yehudis yalda as yered avigdor ve'ele b'nei bisya bas paro asher lakach mared. So it says in Divrei Yomim that his wife was Jewish and she gave birth to Yered avigdor, and these are the children of Bitya bas paro who was taken by mared. Who is Mered? Ze Kalev, it's Kalev. Vilama nikro shmo Mered. Shemarad ba'atzas meraglim. Sorry. So why is he called Mered? He rebelled. Mered means rebellion. So he rebelled against the advice of the meraglim, and it's a reference to Kalev. So there's an idea in this that Kalev married Bas Paro, Bisya Bas Paro. And if you look at Rashi, look in source number 5. V'ishto ha'yehudis b'Kalev b'nifune mishtayikra. It's referencing Kalev, Yehudis Hashem Shekafra Ba'avodazara V'Nisgaira. So why is she called Yehudis Bas Paro Bitsya? Because she rejected Avodazara and she converted. She called Kofra Ba'avodazara Nikra Yehudi. Anyone who rejects Avodazara is called a Yehudi. Dechsev Isi Govrin Yehudayin. So she married Kalev Bas Paro, and it says Yered Avigdor Kulon Shemoson Shalmoshehin. All these are names of Moshe in the Pasuk in Tivrei Yomim. And married Kalev Shemar Ba'atzas Meraglim. So go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara asks the question, V'chi Bisya let Yalda? Did Bisya really give birth to all these children? V'alo Yocheved Yalda. Yocheved gave birth to Moshe. Elo Yocheved Yalda u'Bisya Gidla. L'fichach Nikra al Shema. Rather, Bas Paro raised Moshe, Yocheved gave birth to Moshe, but Bas Paro raised Moshe. So therefore, Bas Paro is considered, or is like the one who gave birth to Moshe. So we see the second example, at least in the section that tries to prove this point, is from Bas Paro. That Pasuk in Divrei Yomim says that Bas Paro had all these children, and these children, the names quoted in Divrei Yomim, are all names of Moshe. And the Pesukim indicate, even though I think there's Midrashim that say Kalev married Miriam, but they seem to say that Kalev married Bas Paro, and Bas Paro was Miskayeres. She was really a Gioras. She was a convert. And so we learn out the second idea, or the second principle, or the second concept from Bisya, Bas Paro. And then the last one is Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mehecha. So he learns out from this case, it says, Ga'alta Bizroa Amecha B'nei Yaakov Yosef Sela. It says, you redeemed your nation with your strong arm, the children of Yaakov and Yosef Sela. V'chi Yosef Yala, did Yosef give birth to B'nai Yisrael, your nation? V'alo Yaakov Yala, Yaakov was the source of the Shvatim and Klal Yisrael. Eli Yaakov Yala v'Yosef Kilkel. So Yaakov gave birth and Yosef supported the Jews. When the Jews were in Mitzrayim, Yosef supported us. L'fichach nikru al shemo. Therefore, Yosef is considered the father of the nation, just like Yaakov. So the Gemara gives us three different examples as to how we prove that if a person raises a child in their house, that it's considered their own. And what are those examples? Number one is the case of Rus from Megillas Rus, and it's Naomi, that Naomi was the mother of Oved, even though she wasn't the physical mother, biological, but she raised a child. The second example is Bas Paro, that Divrei Yomim references the concept that Bas Paro had all these children, and all these children that are mentioned in the Pasuk are names of Moshe. So we learn from there as well that even though Yocheved gave birth to Moshe, Bas Paro is considered the mother because she raised Moshe. And the last idea is from Yaakov and Yosef, that Yosef was not the father of the nation. Yaakov was, but Yosef is considered the father of the nation because of the fact that he supported the Jewish people. So the question is, why do we need all these three examples? And what's the difference between these three examples? Are they really arguing with each other? Are they developing the concept? But what are these three different examples? And why are they given in this Gemara? And what do they teach us about this concept that whoever raises a child is as if they're the parent of the child? So before we answer the questions on the Gemara, just one other point. Factually, the Gemara says Yisomim. So the Marsha asks a good question. The Marsha says, V'lamedcha, in source number 6, Shekol hamagadel yasom besoch, lab dafka yasom, it doesn't mean an orphan, dechula no demaisi lab yisomim hayu. So some of the cases, they weren't Yisomim. The Jewish people were not Yisomim, for example. Moshe was not a Yasom. He was not an orphan. His father and mother were still alive. So that's his kasha. So it doesn't mean Yisomim specifically. It can mean even a child that doesn't have their parents around. Inami, the other possibility is Yisomim Hayu. They were Yisomim. De Oved, they were orphans. De Oved Hanoled Lerus Hayu Yasom Me'av. So in Oved, actually, there's a medrash that we're going to get to. He was a Yasom. His father Boaz died. And Kedi Isa B'Medrash Shemes Boaz Miyad, that Boaz died right away. Val Kain, Vatikach Nami as a Yeled, and therefore Nami raised the child. Vatilo the Omenes, Vatikrena lo Ashkeno, Shiro, Doverzesh, Nami Megadlo, Vamru, Yulad ben Lenami, Vatikrena Shemo Oved. So there is a possibility that Oved was really a Yasom, an orphan, because Boaz was killed or died. And we'll see that Medrash. So maybe Oved was a name that was in Naomi's family. So too by Bas Paro. Moshe was like an orphan because he couldn't reveal who his father and mother were. That he couldn't say that he was their child, their son. And so too by Yosef. Yosef also supported the Jews after the death of Yaakov. So once Yaakov died, the children of Klal Yisrael were considered Yisomim because they didn't have their forefather Yaakov. So the Marsha explains that factually, there's two possibilities. Either you don't really have to be a Yasom, an orphan, or all these cases are Yisomim. And one is the case by Rus was where Boaz died, and we'll see that medrash inside. And therefore, Oved was an orphan, and Naomi raised this orphan. The second case, Moshe was like an orphan, because he couldn't say where he came from, who his parents were. And the last case, where Klal Yisrael, there are orphans because they were supported even after Yaakov died. Okay, so now we have all the facts in front of us. Let's try to explain it, what the concept is. So we'll go step by step. Each case should be analyzed on their own, but I don't think we have to bring in that many sources. We could just try to understand the idea on its own. So we'll go through the Gemara. So the first example used to prove that raising a child is important and it's as if you are the parent of the child is from Naomi. So if you look in source number 7, I just brought down the same pasuk in source number from source number 1. It's Perek Dal pasuk Yud Zayin. It says Vatikrena lo ashkenos shem lemor yulad ben lenami Vatikrena shema Ovid hu avi Yishai avi David. So all the women in the neighborhood, they were all saying that Naomi had a child and she called the child's name Ovid, who is the grandfather of David. So what is the first idea? What's the concept of a foster mother having the title of a mother, Yulad Bain? So maybe the first idea is an idea in the public sphere, meaning that when you raise a child, people identify you as the child of the person who raised you. And we see that from the Rus case, because throughout the Psukim in Megillas Rus, it says in Yudal, look in source number 1, Yudal, it says, Vatomar Nahana Shem El Nami. The women said to Naomi, and it says in source number 1, Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Vatikrena lo ashrenos shem lemor, yulad ben lenami. So it's always vis-a-vis the public. In the public sphere, they identify this child as Naomi's child. So maybe the first idea is that when a foster mother or father raise a child, so people identify, the public identifies the child's mother, not as the biological mother, but identifies the mother of the child as the one who raises the child. So the first idea, I think, or the first proof or example of how a foster mother is like the mother themselves is based on how the public perceives the relationship. That in a public sense, the people relate to this child as the child of Naomi. They don't relate to the child as the child of Rus. So one idea in foster and being a foster parent is that in a certain sense, you can replace the mother in the public setting, in the public sphere. A foster mother is considered a mother, and people view the one who raises the child as more essential. So the first idea is in the framework of the Rabbim. So that's the first concept. I believe the Gemara is highlighting different aspects of being a foster parent and why it's so powerful. And the first is in the framework of how people perceive the child. The second is the pasuk by Bas Paro, and I think we have to do a Gemara for this. But in Divrei Yomim, the pasuk that we quoted before is Ve'ishta Yehudia Yaldas Yared Avi Gedor Ve'aschever Avi Socho Ve'asukisiel Avi Zenoach Ve'ele Bnei Bisya Bas Paro Asher Lakach Mared. So the pasuk says that these are all the children of Bnei Bisya. They're the children of Bisya, who Mared took for a wife. Mared was Kalev. So if you look in Megillah, your Gimel Amud Aleph, it explains who Bas Paro was, and it says Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, ki ava pasach b'divrei yomim amar hachi. Whenever Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi would learn divrei yomim, he would say kol dvarecha echad mehem. All of the ideas in divrei yomim are connected. Va'anu yodin ledorshan, and we know how to explain him. So he quotes our pasuk. V'ishto ha'yehudia yaldas yared avi gedor v'aschever avi socho v'asukusiel avi zanoach. Same pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Amai kari la Yehudia? Why is Bas Paro called Yehudia? Al shum shekafra ba avodah zara, because she abandoned avodah zara. Dichsev vatered Bas Paro lerchutz ali or. When Bas Paro went down to the Nile River to wash, what it means is v'amar Rabbi Yochanan she yarda lerchutz megilulei beis avia. It was as if she was going to the mikvah to try to rid herself of the avodah zara of her father." So she was really a person who was trying to be kofar in Avodah Zarah. She was leaving Avodah Zarah. Yalda, so the Gemara says, she gave birth, v'ha ribuye ribise, she raised him. Lomar lach, shekol magdil yasom yisoma b'soch biso, mala lavakas of kilu yalda. So same idea. So then it keeps going. It says, yared zemosha, v'lama nikra shmo yared, she yared lahem the Yisrael man Biyamov. So why is his name called Yared Moshe? Because the Mon came down in his lifetime. Moshe was responsible for the Mon. When Moshe died, the Mon stopped. So therefore, his name is Yared. Gedor. Why is his name Gedor? It's another nickname for Moshe. Shegadar Pirtosan Shel Yisrael. He fenced the breaches of Klal Yisrael. Chaver Shechiber Yisrael Lavien Shem Shemayim. He connected the Jews with Hashem. Socho Shenamar Lehem Yisrael's Kisuka. So it says, Shanas Elohim, he made Yisrael a shelter, he gave him shelter. Yekusiel Shekavu Yisrael Lekel B'yamav, they trusted in Hashem in his time. She's Niach Avonosan Shel Yisrael. And he caused the sins of Klal Yisrael to be disregarded. Avi, 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 Av B'Torah, Av B'Chachma, Av B'Nevios. And he had all these, he was the father of Torah, the father of Chachma, of wisdom, and the father of Nevios, of Navi. So we see from this, again, that Basya was a person who was kofar b'avodah zarah. And the Gemara asks the same question. Did she really give birth to Moshe? No, she didn't give birth to Moshe. But really, it says that she raised him. So what do we learn? What's the second idea in being a foster parent? So I think this concept is teaching us that a foster parent has, their personality has an essential impact on the personality of the child, even more so than the biological mother. It's the classic question of nature versus nurture. And it seems like the Gemara here is siding with nurture. Because we see here that Moshe was born to Yocheved, but Bisya raised him. And Bisya had a personality that she was able to go against her father. She was able to rebel against her father and give up Avodah Zarah. And that seemed to have a great impact on Moshe. And I think that's why all these nicknames are presented, because they're all teaching us about the greatness of Moshe, but it's tied back to Bisya. Meaning it wasn't just the biology of Moshe, but it was also the personality of Bisya and her ability to remain committed to Judaism and abandon her relationship with her father in favor of Judaism that had the strongest impact on Moshe's perfection, Moshe's personality. So the Gemara is teaching us that a foster parent's personality and their nature has a greater impact than the biology of the biological mother. So it's teaching us that, I think, that the Torah is taking a more nurture approach, that nurture is more essential than nature, meaning that even though Yocheved played an important role in the sense that her genetics were passed through Moshe, but nevertheless, Bisya is called the mother because her personality and her ability to reject her father's Avodah Zarah had the strongest impact on the child. So a foster mother is like a mother in the sense that the personality of the foster mother has a greater impact on the child than the biological mother who's not around, who's not involved. So that's the second idea. So the first idea is in the public sphere, a foster child is attributed or connected to the foster mother more so than the biological mother. And the second idea is that the foster child is more affected or influenced by the foster mother's personality than by the biological mother who's not really involved in raising the child. So raising the child itself is a more essential feature to the personality of the child. And the last idea, the final idea, is from Yosef and Yaakov. So the Gemara says from Tehillim, if you look in source number 10, Ga'alta bizroa amecha b'nei Yaakov Yosef Sela, that you redeemed your children with your arm, your strong arm, the children of Yaakov and Yosef. And the Metzudas David gives a pshat in source number 11, and he says, Bizroa b'choach zroacha ga'alta es amecha m'mitzrayim, through the strength of your arms, you took out the Jews of Mitzrayim, b'nei Yaakov Yosef ki Yaakov yiladom, Yosef Kilkolom Barav, Lizenikraim Aideshneim. So Yaakov was the one who gave birth to the children of Israel, and Yosef caused them to survive. He gave them sustenance when they were starving in the Rav and the famine, and that's why they're both considered the parents of this nation. Sela Rutzalomar Gula Shlema Ad Olam Luchazru Lishtabid Bahem. It's a full, complete redemption, and they're not going to go back and be Mishtabid Bahem and be subject to slavery. To them, to the Egyptians. So what's the idea, the third idea? The third idea is that the biological mother gives the child life, but the foster mother is involved in the physical survival of the child. So in that sense, the foster mother is more essential, because a biological mother simply gives existence, but the foster mother gives physical sustenance, physical survival to the child. So there are three aspects of fosterhood. Not fosterhood, sorry, being a foster parent or a parent that raises a yasom, that makes them superior or equivalent to a natural biological parent. One is, in the public sphere, the child is viewed as the son of that parent. The second idea is in the influence sphere, where in terms of personality, nurture is really more favored by the Torah, by the Gemara. And the last is the concept that the survival of the child is more dependent on the person who raises the child rather than the person who gives birth, because it's one thing if you give birth to a child and you don't help it survive, it'll just die right away. And the person who raises it gives the child physical sustenance, gives it physical support. And that's necessary for the survival of the child. And Yosef helped the Jews survive. So therefore, he's considered like the parent himself because of his role vis-a-vis the survival of that nation, of that child. So those are the three aspects that the Torah is highlighting about being a parent and raising a child that's not yours. That you can have a more powerful impact, and you're the fact that the child's survival is tied to you, and the idea that people identify you, those are all aspects that make you equivalent or superior to the mother, to the biological mother. So that's what Megillas Rus is highlighting. That's the first idea in the shir. But basically, I wanted to go through this medrash, and the first idea in the shir is based on source number two, which was the first part of the medrash, and the second part of the medrash is an interesting story. So if you look in, there's really three different ideas. If you look in the medrash in 14, sorry, before that, 12, it says, Dover Acher, Yulad Beilin Naomi Velola Boaz. So the second reason why Megillas Rus says that Naomi had this child, that this child is called the son of Naomi, Melamed Kishaba Boaz al Rus, but also Alila, Mace, when Boaz had relations with Rus on that night, he died. Vitifshato Rus al Bitna Kalalila. And Rus took his body and spread it on her belly the whole night. Shelo Yomru Zansa Tachtav Meish Acher. She was afraid, Rus was afraid that people would think that she got pregnant from somebody else. Ukshaboa Koba Boker Mitsau Mace al Bitna. And then everybody found them, or found her in the morning, and him, and he was dead on her stomach. Lefichach karu al shem Naomi. That's why the child is called al shem Naomi, because Boaz was not around. So this is a funny medrash. The medrash, again, is saying that Boaz, who is a lot older than Rus, the whole, one of the ideas of Rus is that Boaz was an old man, and Rus was very young, and nevertheless, they fell in love with each other. And it wasn't just, you know, physical love, but there was also philosophical elements. And I guess Boaz couldn't handle it, and he had relations with Rus, and he died. He died that first night. And Rus, instead of, I guess she just wanted to ensure that everyone knew that she wasn't sleeping around, that she wasn't having a child with somebody else, she takes his body, his dead body, and puts it on her stomach all night until they find her and him. And then Naomi has to get involved because Boaz is not around anymore. He died. So what exactly is the meaning of this? I mean, even if it's literal, what exactly is does Rus and the Medrash teach us about the fact that it says Yulad Bein Naomi? Is it simply that Naomi took the place of Boaz? So it's partially that. It's teaching us that the reason why the child is called the child of Naomi is because Boaz wasn't around and Naomi had to step in and play that role. But I think there's a deeper idea here as well. And I think it's expressed in the Medrash as a whole. So if you look in source number 13, Naomi was related to Boaz. It says, Naomi moda l'isha ish gibor chayel b'mishpachas Elimelech shmo Boaz. It says, Naomi was known to this man who was a great warrior from the house of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And if you look in source number 14, it says, moda karov ben, he was a karov, he was a relative. Boaz was a relative of Naomi, ben achiv shel Elimelech. He was Naomi's nephew, Elimelech, who is Naomi's husband who died, it was Elimelech's brother's son. Haya Amru Rabbi Sinuzal, Elimelech, the Salmon, Avi Boaz, Uploni Amoni, Hagoel, Avi Naomi, Kulon b'nei Nachshon ben Aminadav. And the Medrash says that all these people were descendants of Nachshon, the first Nasi of Yehuda. Velo ho'ilu lahem zechus avosam b'teisam ma'aretz zechutz la'aretz. But nevertheless, they all, Elimelech was killed because of the fact that he left Eretz Yisrael. Different story. I think I gave shir on that on a different year, so if you want to look through the shirim. But anyways, the Megillas Rus teaches us that Naomi was related to Boaz. Naomi was his aunt through marriage. So what exactly, why did I bring this in? What's the concept? And then the concept, also from the Medrash itself, is that it was important that this child be associated with the lineage of Boaz. And Boaz was tied to Nachshon, who is Malchus. And ultimately, Oved was the grandfather of David. So I think the idea is that Rus, who was a Moavi, she was from Moav, so she didn't have the Yichus, she didn't have the family lineage and the family tree back to Yehuda, back to Nachshon, but Naomi did. Naomi was a relative of Boaz. She had Yichus because it says, Chazal say that they were all children of Nachshon, so she had Yichus back to Nachshon, Ben Aminadav. So it was important from the birth of this child that this child be connected to the Yichus of Boaz, to the Yichus of Yehuda. Because ultimately, there was Hashgacha, there was a divine intervention that this child should be the source or the lineage of David, Oved, Yishai, and then David. So the second idea of Megillas Rus that we're trying to highlight from the Medrash is that the reason why the child was called Yulad Ben Lanami is because it was important for Naomi to establish the yichus of this child, to make sure, to ensure that this, everyone knew that this child came from Yehuda. And Naomi was the one who replaced Boaz because they had the same yichus, the same lineage. So it was important for everyone to perceive the fact that this child was the child of Boaz, and also Naomi was essential in terms of relaying that. And I think that's why it ties back into the Medrash. What does it mean that Rus had him lie on her belly? Because she recognized this as well. She recognized that it was critical that people recognize or know for a fact that Boaz was the father. Because she knew that this child was, or she understood that this child had a potential to be a melech, or at least a leader, and be the father of this lineage. So because she knew that, she ensured that everybody understood that even though Boaz wasn't around, this child was still the son of Boaz. And the way she did that was in the Medrash that she put him on her stomach, meaning everyone would know, there would be no doubt where this child came from. And Naomi's role in this was to ensure that the yichus of this child was known, that everyone know that this child was from Yehuda. Nachshon ben Aminadav was the ultimate ancestor of this child, and therefore everyone should know that. So the second idea of the Medrash, the first idea is teaching us the benefits of being a parent of an orphan and how that is really like being a mother. The second idea of the Medrash is teaching us that Naomi's role in the raising of this child was not just to raise the child, but also to establish the yichus, establish the lineage of this child back to Yehuda, because ultimately this child ends up being the grandfather of David, and of course all the malachim have to come from Yehuda after Shaul. So that's the second idea. Then one last idea, one last part of the Medrash, there's a third concept. It says in source number 15, Davar Acher Yulad Ben Lanami, he Amra L'Rus, Halo Avakesh Lach Manoach Asher Yitav Lach. So she says to Rus that I want for you, I request for you a tranquility that is good for you. If you look in source number 16, that's the Pasuk. It says, Vatomer La Nami Chamosa, Biti, halo avakesh lach manoach asher yitav lach. She says to her daughter-in-law, Rus, that I want a manoach, I want a tranquility for you that will be beneficial. So what is this menucha referring to? And why is this tied to Yulad Ben Lanami? So if you look in the Malbim says, Biti halo avakesh lach, rotzen lomar kfar kalu gimel chodshei havchana, the 3 months of testing are over. Ve'ata halo alai mutal levakesh lach, it's on me to request for you manoach, some tranquility. Dehainu shiyelach ba'al, that you should have a husband. She took it upon herself to ensure that Rus would have a husband. Kemashe kasav umtzena menucha isha beveis isha asher yitav lach. So she says earlier, if you look in source number 18, when they first start leaving to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and it's her, Orpah, and Rus, she says to both of them in source number 18, Yitin Hashem lechem umtzena menucha Isha beis isha vatishak law vatisena kulon vatifkena. She requests that each of her daughters-in-law get menucha. They get some type of tranquility, and they kissed each other. And Orpah ends up leaving, but Rus stays with her. So, what is menucha a reference to? Menucha means a husband. So she saw it upon herself. Rus saw it, that it was her responsibility. Sorry, Naomi thought that it was her responsibility to get Rus a husband, because that's menucha. Sometimes a person can get manoach, get tranquility, but it's not good for the wife. Im bala bilti shomer Torah, if the husband doesn't keep Torah mitzvos, it might be good psychologically, but it's not good philosophically. She'oz lo yitov la b'tova nefesh hanafshi, it's not good philosophically. Kamashe gasav chazal b'ha'isha sheniseis l'muchsin, I don't know this case, but it says a woman who marries a tax collector, he has this ties of a tax collector on his hands. I want you to have this good. Meaning that it was Rus's wish that, it was Naomi's wish that Rus marry somebody and have a menucha that was good for her. Meaning a psychological tranquility and also a philosophical tranquility, a philosophical benefit. So what the Malbim is teaching us is that Naomi took it upon herself to get she saw it as her responsibility that Rus should get married and have a good life, and have a good philosophical life and good psychological life. And the Gemara says the same thing. Look at source number 19, the last one. It says Isha beis Isha melamed she'ein koras ruach leisha elo beis baila, that a woman doesn't get any type of koras ruach, which is tranquility, satisfaction, except for in the house of her husband, meaning that when a woman gets married, it's really essential for a woman psychologically to feel a certain happiness, tranquility. Menucha is like rest on Shabbos, for example, so feel a certain relaxation. And Ashir Yitov Lach, which the Megillas Rus mentions, is the bakasha on the part of Naomi that Rus have a husband that benefits her on a philosophical level. So now, with that information, with the last part of the Medrash, so what does it mean, Yulad Bein Naomi? So the Medrash is teaching us that Naomi is given credit for this child because Naomi was really the one who selflessly put it on herself to get Rus married and to give her the life that would be responsible for this child and to give her the situation that would be responsible for this child. So the Megillas Rus is highlighting the idea that we shouldn't forget the concept that Naomi was really responsible for this whole situation. Because if not for Naomi, so who knows what Rus would have done. And Rus might not have approached Boaz. It was Naomi's idea that Rus should approach Boaz. So Naomi was really the source, was really the shadchan. And she was really responsible. And it was selfless on her part because she saw it as her responsibility to get Rus married in the proper situation. So as such, the Megillah is teaching us that the child is considered the child of Naomi because of Naomi's role in getting Rus into the situation and having this child be born because of Naomi's actions and her guidance towards Rus that this child existed. So we recognize that, and that's the recognition of the part of the people. Everyone recognized that Naomi was really the one who was essential for this child's birth. And if not for her guidance towards Rus, and if not for her advice towards Rus, this child would not be born and not be raised properly. So that's why the Torah teaches us that Naomi was the mother. It was Yulad Bein Naomi. So that's really the end of the shiur. Let me just summarize really three different points. So we take it up. We're really approaching this from the Medrash. And the Medrash on the third parak of Rus, where it discusses that she gives birth to a child and that Naomi is considered the mother of the child. Everyone says that Yulad Bein Naomi, that Naomi had a child. So the question is, why does the Megillah say it like that? Why does the Megillah have to teach us that everyone was saying Yulad Bein Naomi? In fact, Rus was the one who gave birth to this child. So the first idea brought down in the Medrash and quoted by the Gemara is to teach us that a person who raises a child, an orphan, it's as if they're the mother of the child. It's as if it's their child. And we took that idea further and we wanted to explain it. And we saw the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin brings from three different areas, rayos, proofs, that a foster mother is like the mother themselves. And the three different areas that are rayos, are proofs, one are from Naomi, the second one is from the Bas Paro, who had Moshe, who's considered the mother of Moshe, and the last was Yosef, vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. Even though Yosef was not the father of Klal Yisrael, he's called the father of Klal Yisrael. So we explain that there are three aspects of raising an orphan, or raising a child that's not yours, that make you essential. One is, in a public sphere, in the public sense, everyone identifies the child as yours. The second, that's from Rus and Naomi. The second idea is in terms of influence, that a foster mother can have a stronger influence on the child's personality. And we see that from Bas Paro, that she was kofar by Avodah Zarah, and that personality trait really presented itself in Moshe and assisted Moshe's development. And the last idea is the idea of Yosef, that physical survival is just as essential as existence itself. And a person who raises a child is responsible for the survival of the child physically. So in that sense, you're just as important, if not superior, to the mother herself. The second idea is the role of Naomi vis-a-vis this child was because Boaz had died. And we said that the purpose of Naomi's role, and the reason why it's highlighted, is that everyone should know that this child was Miyaches. His lineage went back to Yehuda, because Naomi was a relative of Boaz, and they were all from Nachshon, who is the first Nasi of Yehuda, and Rus was a Gioras. So it was clear that, it had to be clear that this child had the Yichus of Yehuda, and that's why Megillas Rus mentions that Oved was the son of Naomi, to make it clear that this was the Yichus of Oved. And in fact, Rus was aware of this too, and that's why she has to ensure that everyone knows that this child is the son of Boaz. And the last idea is Naomi's role in Rus's marriage. That the Megillah is teaching us, Megillas Rus is teaching us that Naomi's role was essential in Rus's marriage. She was really the impetus. She took it upon herself to create a situation of success for Rus. And if not for that, the child would never be born. So she's credited in the Megillah as being the mother of the child because of the fact that she was selfless in her desire to have Rus be in the proper situation, and that's why she's credited. So those are all ideas that come about through Megillas Rus, and hopefully when we're going through Rus on Shavuos, these ideas will be clear through the Megillah. So everyone have a good Shavuos, and thank you for calling in.